Standing. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, and we pray that as we consider these famous words this morning, you would thrill our hearts afresh with your love and reassure us and give us grace that we might make these things known to others. So we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, we've entered February now, and a week on Friday is Valentine's Day. Now, I came across some Valentine's cards recently. There was the slightly silly sort of card. Roses are red, violets are blue, as a pig loves mud, I love you. There was one of a little bit of contemporary significance. I love you more than my iPhone. Real love. You mean so much to me that I got this bit of half-folded paper. And a rather cynical one. Happy, unimaginative, consumer-orientated and entirely arbitrary, manipulative and shallow interpretation of Romance Day. Well, there are many legends associated with Valentine's Day. I'm not sure which of them are true, but everyone agrees that Valentine's Day, on that day, people think about love, romantic love. Now, this morning we're thinking about love, but love of a rather different kind, as we focus on another of our comfortable words, the words of encouragement that we find in the Holy Communion service. Now, the words before us this morning from our reading in John chapter 3 contain what is often said to be the most famous verse in the whole Bible. The reference, John 3:16, is something that you sometimes see on billboards, in a crowd, or at football stadiums. I guess the idea is that people might be intrigued to know what that means, and these days Google it and find out what it is. Well, John 3:16 in our reading goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, these words are part of a conversation that Jesus has with a highly regarded religious man called Nicodemus. But Jesus realizes that Nicodemus doesn't understand the most important things about God and people. And so he explains what all human beings need to know. John 3:16 gives us a message about love. It begins, for God so loved. And it is a message about God's love for something. For God so loved the world. Now, it's easy for us to think of the world with all its beauty and think God made the world. He loves the world. Well, he would, wouldn't he? But we need to understand what the word world means as Jesus uses it, especially in John's Gospel. The world is a description of the world gone wrong, the world gone mad even. People who have turned away from God and have little or nothing to do with him. Jesus explains to Nicodemus in verse 19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. See, most people in the world don't want God around. The people of the world gone wrong, excluding God, don't want God's Son, Jesus, the light of the world, shining his light into lives. Jesus' goodness and light makes people realize that things are not as they should be. Now, God has made people, and that means that everyone really belongs to him. So given how we have turned from him and treated him, he might be expected to say, well, if that's how you want it, you're finished. In the end, when your life on earth is ended, you'll come out very badly in the judgment and you will die, not just physically, but spiritually. There can be no heaven with me, the perfect and pure God. Now, that would be justice, given who God is and the way that we human beings in his world have treated him. But what did we read in John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Now, this is now a little bit more surprising. God continued to love the people of this world, even though we have treated him so badly and rejected him. That God loves the world shows what love really is, being prepared to be patient and good towards those who don't necessarily always love you in return. Now, when we think about Valentine's Day, we think of romantic love, and of course romantic love in its right context is good, but so often it's just sentimental and just a feeling. So we send Valentine's cards to those we love or like, a person we find lovable, and it makes us feel good inside. But the kind of love that God has for the people of this world is far greater. See, John 3:16 goes on to speak of true love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Even though the people of the world had turned away from him, even though we have made ourselves not very lovable towards God, God gave the world the best present that they could ever have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God gave Jesus, God the eternal son, become the son of God on earth. God gave Jesus, the word of God, as John has just described him, who speaks to us and shows us what God is like. God gave Jesus to the people of this world so that God could do through him what we most need. Remember, we've all turned away from God and deserve nothing good from him. The world is not really very lovable, and we deserve only to die, to perish without God. But how does the famous verse in the Bible continue? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves the people of this world so much that he didn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to have the destiny warned about in our epistle, the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. No, God wants us to have eternal life. That is life with him as it's meant to be forever. So God's love, as we see it revealed here, is extraordinary. As the old hymn puts it, it is love to the loveless, that they might lovely be. But how is this love made possible if we've turned away from God? Well, Jesus, in this conversation with Nicodemus, reminds him of something that had happened back in Old Testament times, a story Nicodemus would have been very familiar with from his childhood. It was a bad period in the history of God's Old Testament people. The book of Numbers tells us of a time when the people had sinned and turned away from God, and they faced a serious problem as poisonous snakes had bit a lot of the people and many died. Now the people realized that they had made a big mistake and they cried out to God for help. And their leader Moses prayed to God and God rescued them by making a special arrangement with the people. See, Moses made a snake. Remember, they'd been bitten by snakes. He'd made a snake out of bronze and he held it up on a stick. And when the people looked up at the snake, they were made better and lived. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that what happened then was to help people understand now. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You see, the people of this world are spiritually speaking ill because we've turned away from God. But God has sent his Son into the world to be lifted up on the cross. And through his death, God can make spiritually ill people well again. God can offer forgiveness even though we've turned away from him. Looking at the snake showed that people believed God's promise that they could be cured. Looking to Jesus, believing in him, makes it possible to be saved from our bad situation. Things with God can be put right. We can be forgiven and know eternal life. Jesus continued to Nicodemus, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See, this is remarkable love. God could have given up on people, but he has offered a way to escape death and to find life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So here are words of great comfort to those who know their need, those who realize that they don't deserve the love of God, but realize that he offers it through Jesus. In him, God has done what is needed to change spiritual death into eternal life. And they're words of great challenge too, if we have not realized our need, or if we have not yet come to Jesus and admitted our need and believed in what he has done. So what great words to hear regularly before we share bread and wine in Holy Communion. A week on Friday, many Valentine's cards will be given out. No sensible girl sends a card to a boy who is mean and cruel. No sensible boy sends a card to a girl who is thoughtless and nasty. We send cards about love to people that we find lovely or lovable. Thankfully, God's love, in the famous words of John 3:16, is far greater than human love. God's love is love to the unlovely, love to the loveless, offering a way to escape the condemnation we deserve and instead to receive eternal life that lasts forever with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful truths, and we pray that you would warm our hearts afresh with the extent of your love. Help us as we gather together this morning to remember the way in which you have demonstrated and proved and shown that love supremely in the death of Jesus on the cross. Please work your love in us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.